This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson. You know Jeremy Irons as the actor who makes being bad look really good. Whether he's introducing fratricide to young children in The Lion King or fraternizing with mistresses on Neil Jordan's The Borgias, where he plays the incredibly powerful and interestingly corrupt Pope Alexander VI.
I'm hardly an inquisitor.
Then become one. We will cleanse this Vatican of ours of anyone who even thinks to question our fitness for this most holy of offices.
The third season of The Borgias begins this weekend on Showtime. Jeremy Irons, welcome to Studio 360.
It's nice to be here.
So, in this program about which I've just spoken, you play Rodrigo Borgia, yeah, the 15th century Pope Alexander VI. And this, His Holiness, rigged elections and had mistresses and illegitimate children. Fantastic character. Did you think as soon as you saw Neil Jordan's idea for this, something you wanted to do?
Yeah. I mean, it's he historically didn't look anything like me, so I...
He was fat and ugly.
Yeah.
Supposed to be beautiful and tall.
He wasn't fat and ugly, but he was fat. Big hook nose. I mean, a Spanish immigrant into Rome and a man who liked his pasta, no doubt about that. So I said to Neil, are you sure I'm the guy for this? And he said, yeah, because you'll know how to play all the other stuff. Doesn't matter. Nobody knows what he looked like. Well, of course, he was wrong. They do. They Googled him.
Neil Jordan has said that Pope Alexander VI suffered from bad press.
Hmm.
Is that...
He's right. He's right. When the second pope after him, who in life was Della Rovere, became pope, he had disliked Alexander so much that he just, you know, he blackened his name in history. Not that he was what we would perhaps regard these days as an ideal pope. I mean, he did have 12 kids.
Early in your career, I read that you were worried you'd be typecast as this sort of controlled British gentleman. When did that stop worrying you?
Oh, I think after I played Brideshead and the French Lieutenant's Woman, I hung about for about a year and then played a Polish builder in a picture called Moonlighting by Skolimowski. And I was in Australia a little bit after that, and I met Werner Herzog, and I was introduced to him, and he said, you are Jeremy Irons? I said, yeah. He said, no, Jeremy Irons is Polish. I've seen... I said, no, actually,
and when a German man says that to you.
Yeah. So I thought, well, this is fine. I seem to be... Getting around the problem that I just thought it might be my graveyard playing sort of elegant Englishmen. You know, they're not that interesting all the time.
He wasn't joking. Huh.
No.
You're not cast as a proper British gentleman, but you are cast as a dark guy a lot. Dead Ringers, Klaus von Bülow, The Lion King, Scar.
Ooh, I quiver with fear.
Why is it so easy to say, Jeremy Irons can do that when they have a villain?
I don't know. I think it's... Harold Pinter once said that one of the things I had as an actor was that I didn't care whether the audience liked me or not. And indeed, I think there's a bit of truth in that, and maybe that helps. I've always been very interested about what makes people tick and how our bad... apparently bad people, really bad, or, you know, how grey are they? Because I believe everybody is. I mean, most people sort of try to do as well as they can, and they make occasional mistakes.
And so when you're playing a bad guy, is that part of feeling those greys within?
No, I think you can't play a bad guy thinking, I'm a bad guy. You've got to say, well, why does he make that choice to behave in that way? But he's probably doing it for a reason that he could justify to you. But I have to find that reason, because I don't think we think of ourselves as being bad when we behave badly.
You think tough, sharp, whatever.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, maybe your most famous villainous portrayal was of the possibly irretrievably bad Klaus von Bülow in the film Reversal of Fortune, for which you won an Oscar.
Can anyone really believe, if I was trying to murder my wife, that I would spend an hour going over a tedious set of figures?
Do you ever run into him? Has he ever? I read that he reviews plays. Has he ever reviewed you?
No, he's never reviewed me. He used to write to me. He used to send me postcards when I was doing publicity. It's very strange when you're doing publicity for a character that exists And I'd never wanted to meet Klaus before I made the movie because I thought I don't want to meet someone else who says he's Klaus von Bülow because I'm Klaus von Bülow. I met many people who knew him but never met him. And it wasn't until about 2 years later that I was down to a close neighbour of mine, Paul Getty, sadly dead now, playing cricket. And Paul said, Klaus is in the house. He's looking around the library. He said, I know you've always chosen never to meet him. I would quite understand if you disappear. And I said, no, I've made the movie 2 or 3 years ago. I'm very happy to meet him now. So I was standing watching the cricket and I heard this voice behind me saying, you see, I'm not fat. And I turned around, it was Klaus. And I said, Klaus, I never said you were fat. I just said you were bigger than I was. You're a bigger man, which you are. And they said, oh. He said, I understand. Did you ever see Alan Dershowitz these days? Alan Dershowitz was the lawyer played by Ron Silver in the movie. I said, no, I haven't seen him since the movie came out. He said, oh, he said, I understand he's representing Leona Helmsley and Michael Tyson at the moment. I said, yes, I'd read that. He said, have you haven't been asked to play either of them, have you? And I said, no, I thought Mike Tyson was a bit beyond my range, but I'd have a crack at Leona Helmsley.
So there you are playing cricket. You ride horses. You apparently ride your own horse in the Borgias. You ride motorcycles, I read. Why wasn't Action Hero one of the things you became?
I don't know. I was just finishing making The French Lieutenant's Woman when Roger Moore was saying that he wouldn't do another James Bond unless he was paid an enormous amount of money. And so they were looking for a new one. And he eventually agreed, so they didn't need a new one. But we had a little meeting.
Would you have come before Pierce Brosnan and Timothy Dalton?
I would have come before that lot. Yeah. But I'm not sure I would have accepted it. I was very strange in those days. I thought to do that sort of part would leave such a big imprint on your career. I was worried whether it would be useful. One can see by the past people that it doesn't matter. You know, Sean Connery went on to do fantastic.
And Daniel Craig can do other things.
He certainly can and does. And Pierce is the same.
Was there a moment when you were a child when you decided, acting, that's it, that's what I want to do?
No, I wanted to be a veterinarian. But I didn't show any signs of any sort of scientific mind at all. And, of course, you have about 7 year training to be a vet. I wanted to do something which sort of took me outside the sort of society that I'd been brought up in. I wanted to be a gypsy.
And you had a raging bohemian urge?
Yeah, I did. I wanted to go and have fun. You know, this was just before the 60s or 60s. So I thought, well, I'll either go work in the fun fairs or in the circus or
literally the fun fairs and circus, yeah.
Yeah, is that what you call them here?
No, but
What do you call them?
Carnivals?
Carnivals, that's right. I was at that point busking with my guitar, singing to queues and singing in pubs to earn money. And I went down to Epsom, where they have Derby Day, you know, the great English race, horse race. And they have a big carnival there. And I wandered round the back to see where the guys slept. And I saw that there were these tiny little cubicles with four guys in each. I thought, oh, God, I can't deal with that for the rest of my life.
Because you were a bourgeois bohemian.
I was a bourgeois. I was a champagne bohemian. So I thought, well, I'll look at acting. And I took a job off the back of a newspaper, the stage newspaper in London. And so I went down to Canterbury and joined this theatre company. And I loved it. I just felt so at home. I thought, I love the attitude of these people. I love the smells of this place. I love the routine. I love the hours we work. You know, going home at 2 a.m, getting out of bed at 10 a.m. I thought, this is great.
So it wasn't that you'd seen Olivier and said, that's what I must do.
No, not at all. It was just what I wanted. So I could have been equally happily being a stage manager or a lighting man or sound man or whatever. It's just that I thought, if you're in the theatre, you've got to be an actor. So I went to drama school. Or I auditioned for drama school. Most of them turned me down because they said, why do you want to be an actor?
And were you honest?
I was. I said, well, I just think it's quite a nice job. You know, and they said, yeah, well, all right, you know. And I was surrounded by people who were so on the front foot, you know. They'd been in Nepal working with mountain goats doing extraordinary productions of Ibsen on the slopes of Everest. And just extraordinary, you know. I thought, I haven't done anything, really. I just worked at Canterbury for a bit. Fortunately, one guy, Nat Brenner, who ran the Bristolovic Theatre School, caught a sort of gleam in my eye and thought, oh, maybe this guy can at least wear clothes well, stand at the edge of the stage and dress it. And we hit it off, and he took me in to the school. And after 2 years, I was one of the five that went straight down to join the company, which was good. So I must have learned something. But all my mates now, who I still have, they all thought I was going to be an antique dealer because I used to supplement my meagre living allowance with buying and selling things, antiques.
You can play that. I can see you playing an antiques dealer.
Yeah.
You work a lot.
I work enough.
Do you anguish much over whether to take role X, Y, or Z as you're offered them?
No, I'm pretty sanguine about that. I sort of know what I want to do, and it comes just through appetite. I mean, a bacon sandwich on a full stomach, you think, I don't want it. And then, you know, a day or 6 hours later, you look at it and think, hey, I'll eat that. So one's appetite changes.
So you are 64 years old.
Am I?
That's what they say. That's what the internet tells me.
And on the outside. On the inside, I'm still 27.
Is that your age? Everybody has their age.
I think it's about that.
Yeah, I'm in my 30s.
But. Yeah.
And you still, as I say, work a lot. Will you be working as much and as hard, do you think, at 74?
I don't know. If I'm lucky enough to have my health.
But you would wish to?
Yes. I mean, I've been working very hard the last 3 years. I think I've had about 2 weeks off or something. So, I hope I won't be working that hard. But it would be lovely still to be asked every now and again.
Jeremy Irons, thank you so much.
It's a pleasure.
Jeremy Irons can be seen as Pope Alexander VI on Showtime's The Borgias. The show's third season begins this weekend.